Well, good morning, church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office. And we are in the midst of our Sunday morning Bible study. We are at the particular point where we're half in church and half in home fellowship still. So I think one by one, the home fellowships will be coming back. We still have a significant amount of people that are not really, they're just not at a place where they can come out right now. So continue to pray for that. I know that within the next couple of weeks, we should be hearing about whether our county is going to be opening up even more. So, but things seem to be going well. We meet at the church. We're still around the number we need to be, and things are going good. So we meet Wednesdays as well. And Wednesdays, we started a new book. We are studying the book of Ephesians. We're only one study into it. So if you want to make that, that would be a great opportunity for you. Ephesians is a wonderful book. It really talks a lot about your standing and your walk on a very practical level. So I encourage you to come out for that. This morning, we are going to be talking about marching orders and this idea of not fearing, right? And so the Bible is clear as to why we do what we do, right? And we are here this morning to study to show thyself approved, to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. That's what our goal, that's what our aim is this morning. And I'm glad that you're here to join us. I think it's a great thing when you tune in, even if you, excuse me, are coming from a home fellowship where you're going to hear this message or you've heard this message and you want to just hear another spin on it. I think it's a good thing. So let's get started. First of all, the Bible often says that, you know, things like do not fear, do not be afraid or fear not. And of course, these commandments don't contradict the command to fear God. We are to fear God according to 1 Peter 2:17. And the fear of God keeps us from sin and the fear of man leads us to sin. And that's what we're to avoid, right? The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29. And also in the biblical command, do not fear, it does not get rid of or negate the need for us to be prudent and cautious in this world. We can be fearless and still have caution, right? So we're not to be cavalier either. And that basically means not properly concerned. We need to be properly concerned with the dangers that we face. And so in this particular context, Jesus is at a place in, you know, he's selected the disciples, he's given them their marching orders in terms of what, you know, the authority that they have over demons and healing sickness and disease and bringing the gospel message to a lost and dying world. He said that they're going to go out as sheep amongst wolves. He said that they need to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. He said that not to take too many things with them. They didn't need to take money. They didn't need to take clothes. They were going to basically live in people's homes that would welcome them, and there would be those that would not welcome him. And he gave them instruction for those people as well. So he gets through all of that. They understand where they're going, which was the lost sheep of Israel. They understand what they're doing, which is to preach the gospel, heal sickness and disease. They understand the limit of authority they have, and they understand that there's going to be persecution, right? And last week we talked about that persecution and what it's going to be like. And then this particular study is where he begins to tell them that, yes, even though you're going to be persecuted, I don't want you to have fear, right? You look at this persecution and you do what you're called to do in spite of all the pain and suffering. So it brings us to Matthew chapter 10, verse 24, where it says, "The student is not above the teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants to be like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight, and what is whispered in your ear, proclaim to the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care? And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Father, I add blessing to your word this morning as we study, and we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. So, a couple of observations. Well, the first couple of verses there, verse 24 and 25, in the NIV, they read a certain way, but the Message really has a transliteration of these verses that I think is better for us to understand. And permit me to use the Message version of these two verses that I think, after we read it, it won't need further explanation, right? So it says, a student does not get a better desk than the teacher. A laborer does not make more money than his boss. Be content, pleased, even when you, my students, my harvest hands, get the same treatment I get. If they call me the master of dungface, what can the workers expect? And so bottom line, Jesus was saying here, if they're coming after me in this way, they're going to come after you. And he specifically says, I don't want you to fear them. I don't want you to fear them. I've given you sort of a plan of what they're going to say and how much authority they have, and you're not to be afraid. And the truth is going to be revealed in all that we see, right? The truth that Jesus had given them in the prior 10 chapters here, or the prior 9 chapters, that truth is going to be revealed. And he says that he wants them to speak as I have commanded you to speak, with all boldness and love. And that's when he's talking about it's not hidden anymore. There's nothing that they can do to your soul or your core being. And he doesn't want us, you know, worried. He didn't want the disciples worried about that. And basically, he's saving, save your fear for the one who holds your entire life, your body and your soul in your hands. That's the thing that we are to be looking at. We're not to be looking to be intimidated by man or fearful by man. We know that the fear that we need to have is God has given us a command and we want to do what God has commanded. God's eyes are on the sparrow. There are countless sparrows. And yet when one falls to the ground, God is aware of it. And if he's aware of that and he's numbered the hairs on your head, how much more valuable are you than one of these sparrows? So God's not going to put you in a position to where your life is going to be, in a situation where you can't control it. Yes, there's going to be persecution. Yes, the disciples, most of which, after we know the historical accounts, died terrible deaths, right? But they did so gladly. You know, Paul the Apostle said, I count all this stuff as gain, right? All this trouble, all this whatever, that's the true gain that I get. All the other stuff is, you know, it doesn't even compare to the future glory that we're going to receive, right? The suffering that Paul was allowed to do is the thing that he held valuable in his heart. So let's interpret this morning. So the fear to eliminate, we are given in Scripture, not just here in Matthew, but in many places, the things that we are to eliminate with respect to fear. So the fear that the Bible tells us to avoid is this mixed concern with anxiety or dread, right? It's a feeling of alarm that when we are troubled or in danger, we have a reaction. And most of the reaction that we have to fear, it doesn't make sense, right? It's an irrational response. So followers of Jesus are not to live in a state of anxiety, even though, guys, there's a lot of people, myself included, have suffered from anxiety. It is a terrible thing, right? And we have higher expectations than simply anticipating trouble. And that's what anxiety is. It stems from that anticipation that something's going to go wrong, and therefore the anxiety comes. In fact, we have the means to rise above it. Why? Because God gave us not a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And God's command to fear not is applied in several ways in the Bible, right? For example, the fear of other people, of what they think, should never prevent us from obeying the Lord, right? Never. We do what God calls us to do. And whether people are going to buy into that or not, that's not ours to worry about, right? We should not fear lacking provision in this world, according to Luke 12, verse 6 and 7. We are not to fear the plans of the wicked, even if they rise to power. Psalm 37 talks about that. And when the Bible tells us do not fear, it means that we are not to allow anxiety or fretfulness, right, to rule over our lives, to take root in our hearts. We are not people of panic. We're people of faith. And we need to remember that. We are not people that run around scared when God has given us not only the authority over the things in this world, but the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us, and we can abide under the shadow of his wing, right? So because we fear God, there's some spiritual things that we don't have to worry about ever happening. These are the spiritual things that we just flat out don't ever have to worry about happening. Because we fear God, we are not to fear the following. Number one, having been justified by God, we need not fear divine condemnation, according to Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None. Number two, having been justified by God, we do not need to fear his rejection. Ephesians 1, Luke 12, we talked about that on Wednesday in our study of Ephesians, where one of the blessings is that we are accepted, which is the opposite of being rejected. So with Christ, our shepherd, number three, we need not fear the valley of the shadow of death. We don't fear that, according to Psalm 23. And the fourth one is, with the maker of heaven and earth watching over us, we need not fear anything, Psalm 121. So how do you balance that? Living free in a dangerous world, right? Psalm 91 speaks of the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, and the one who says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That is awesome, right? That allows us this confidence to, we're going to live free in a dangerous world. Those who trust God can live fearlessly. This is what the scripture says. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come to you. That's an amazing promise that we have. This is Psalm 91 that it's just unbelievable because it speaks exactly to where we're at right now. It actually says right there, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the terror that flies, or the arrow that flies by the day. That could be all of the unrest that we're seeing in our communities right now that's probably going to be on the rise very soon. And then if it wasn't specific to that, listen to this. It says, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. We are not to fear those things. Why? It says, but it will not come near you. And guys, that's the thing I think that's missing in this whole pandemic thing is, where's the church stepping up in faith? You know, I know I have my critics because people, you know, and you may be one of them. And I'm sorry if I'm offending you by saying this, but you've been pretty hard on me for not just opening up the church and disobeying the law. And you know what? I have a bigger responsibility than making sure that you have a place to go to church when you want. Right? Especially when there's been home fellowships provided for you. And yes, it may not be the best of, the best that we could offer right now, but it's legal and it's the thing that we should be doing. And just because other churches have opened up, quite frankly, breaking the law. And I understand, well, you know, if you truly walk by faith and you would open up and because that's what Jesus would have done and whatever. Well, Jesus paid taxes and he didn't make any income. So school me on that. Jesus was obedient to everything that was part of the law. The only time he broke the law is when it didn't make sense. He healed on a Sunday, healed on Sabbath, I should say a Saturday. And he did those things because he wanted to make sure that there was a balance. But you guys, the most important thing about this going back to church and everything is we have a bunch of unbelievers that are watching the church. Do you want the unbelievers to look at us as another law-breaking, group of people? Don't we have enough of those? I don't need to mention them by name, but you know who I'm talking about. They destroy private property and everything else, and everybody celebrates them. What do you think is going to happen? We break one little law, then the church is going to be, you know, we're going to take it on the chin for that. And that's why we got to be obedient, right? We got to be obedient. There's balance here. So there's a direct correlation to those who walk by faith and in the midst of danger. And if you say the Lord is my refuge and make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, right? We rest in God's promise. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him. for he acknowledges my name, and I will call on him, and he will answer me, and I will be with and will be with me in trouble. These are all promises. All of these promises come right out of this Psalm 91, which is amazing. I ask that you read through that, right? So application this morning. This fear that Jesus was speaking of is the context of this fear was them, the disciples, going out into the world, right? And that they were going to receive some persecution and some pushback. And so he says, do not fear. And that's the thing that we have. We have hope right now that people are waiting for. We have direction that we can offer people. We have faith that we can build them up with. We have an answer to the problem of our society with respect to racism and inequality. The scripture speaks to all of those things, right? And if we had people that were like-minded and understood God's opinion of these matters, it would make our world awesome, right? But in applying this morning, there's true lessons from scripture that I want to talk to you about. And I'm going to take you from Matthew chapter 10 all the way to the end when Jesus is crucified and buried, and then he rose again, right? So we're going to go to the point, the account of the resurrection. It presents two very different results of a miracle, right? So number one, when the angel descended to the tomb and he rolled the stone away, the guards, the Bible says, they shook with fear and when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint, right? That's Matthew 28, verse 4. And the angel, he let them lay there, right? He let them lay right just there, that they didn't move. Then you have the second group of people. But later, an angel spoke to the woman who visited the tomb. Do not be afraid. I know that you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, right? So you have in one group, God takes away their fear. And with the other group, he allows the fear to overwhelm them. And the question for you and I is why? Well, the difference was one had faith and one had unbelief. When the guards saw, they didn't believe. They didn't have faith, and God let them be in their state. But when the women came, they came with faith, and they were blessed because of that faith. And guys, when we enter into, it doesn't matter what it is, this plague that is overtaking us now and all the lockdowns and everything else. When we go into these things with faith, we're not going to be those who go into depression. We're not going to be those that go into trouble. We're going to rise above the circumstances that God has brought. He's never going to bring something to our front door that we can't handle, right? We're promised that in Scripture. And that's what faith is. Faith is quoting Scripture through this whole entire thing, right? That's what God wants us to do. Maybe you're at home and you're listening to this sermon and you're just gripped with fear over all the things that's going on in this world. And I will ask you boldly, if you know Jesus Christ, how can you be gripped with fear right now? How can you be that way? He specifically told you not to do it. It's unbelief. It's unbelief that he cannot reward. God rewards those who are faithful, not faithless. It's impossible to please God without faith. And if you're sitting at home and you say, well, you know, I've never trusted in Jesus before, and I'm you know, overwhelmed with the things of this world, then I will challenge you right now. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be given the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that this Wednesday. But all of those things will be afforded to you. And if you've made that your prayer today, I want you to call the church office. If you're online listening, you can switch to the page that has our phone number. Give us a call and let us know the decision that you've made. If you are a regular listener and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, I have this as we part company this morning. He has shown you, man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you and me, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that this morning in Jesus' name.